Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Happy Wednesday, everyone. You're listening to All About Healing. I'm your host, Emily Francis, and we have the fabulous producer, Jay, on the line with us, who makes this show go around. So thank you, Jay, for keeping us afloat on this show. I want to open, because it is all about healing, and I want to be really transparent and honest, that it was exactly 1 week ago last week that our family had to release our very, very precious family member pet that we moved here from America to Malta with our 4 animals. And right now we're down 2 already now. Our cat died 2 years ago, but our corgi, our dog, has been here since my husband and I got married. And she was here before I had children. And my children have never experienced life without this dog, without this one especially. She slept with them every night. She sat next to me for the show every week, and it was as peaceful as it could be as we're watching her age and watching the kidneys start to fail and doing every medicine. I even learned how to do IV fluids. The vet taught me so I could do it every other day for months on end. We have been, in more than a year, we've been working as hard as we can. And when her quality of life was compromised, she let us know, and the vet came to our house last week, and we brought her outside on the table under the breeze in the shade near the pool. We had our other dogs out there so that they would know where she is, and our children were all there, and my husband and I, and we held her, and she peacefully let go without any sort of struggle, and it was as beautiful as a release could be, but it's still really tough. I was just telling Jay, the producer, before we started that I came running down the stairs and thought, where's Heidi? I got to have her inside before I start the show, because if I don't bring her in, she pushes the door open. And it was that moment of, oh, my gosh, okay, life as we know it is never going to look exactly the same ever again. And it's a tough one. But we've been doing as good as we can. My daughters still cry at night because she used to sleep next to them in the bed, so they each have their own bed, but they share a room, and the dog would sleep in the middle, and they both are quite heartbroken. So that's where we're at for healing, but I also know that age is part of life, and this part of life is something that you take as the responsibility, and that was really important to me that my children were part of this, because for me, I think it's very important that the children are there all the way through the last breath, if it works out that way, because that's the promise that we make to our animals. So it was very tough. And the first time they experienced it was our cat 2 years ago died at home with us while I was on the phone with the vet. And this time the vet was able to get over to our house. And I open this because I want to be honest, but I also open this because we have Ron Pevney on the line, and his 10th anniversary expanded and updated edition to Conscious Living, Conscious Aging happens to be the topic of conversation today. And the subline is claiming the gifts of elderhood. And I just, you know, I have 2 dogs that have super gray muzzles. And it's hard. It's hard to watch our animals. It's hard to watch ourselves. I turned 50 this year in November. I'm knocking on 50 and not yet. But I'm trying to really absorb being present to the each day and realizing that it is such a gift. It's such a beautiful gift to watch my face change and not interrupt the changes, because I'm raising young women and I don't want them to watch me be obsessed with what's happening as my body and my face begin to change. So I'm going to segue that and welcome you, Ron, to the show. I'm very grateful that it's this week's show, and welcome.
Well, thank you, Emily, and I'm grateful for the opportunity to talk with you today.
So you wrote this book 10 years ago?
Well, yeah, the book was released 10 years ago. I probably wrote it about 12 years ago. And then my publisher, Beyond Words, invited me to do a 10th anniversary edition. And so I added several chapters to my book and made some other changes. I think that, you know, hopefully in the last 10 years I have gotten a little wiser and learned a few things. And some things have changed in the world. You know, the atmosphere in which we are all aging has changed. We live in a world that really is in crisis. And so I felt I could enhance the book, and that's what my new edition does.
First of all, that's incredibly special that your publisher would call you and ask to do that. It speaks so much to the depth and the lasting impression that this book has left on society, and also how much we need it now. Because conscious living, conscious aging, there had to be a reason that you decided to put pen to paper for this. So take me to a little bit more of who you are and your background, and then what made you decide to write the first one.
Okay, I'd be happy to. Well, I guess I'd start by saying that for about 45 years, my work, my sense of calling, the gifts I have to give, have really been centered around assisting people in negotiating life transitions. And it began, you know, many years ago, 45 years ago, when I became one of the first non-indigenous people in this country to offer wilderness rite of passage experiences to help support people in moving through major life transitions. And I just love seeing how people are able to use transition as an opportunity to really grow, you know, to move forward in their lives from who they have been to who they can become. And so I offered a lot of rite of passage experiences for many years, in addition to doing some other things, some corporate creativity training and some other work to help, you know, put bread on the table. But then about 20 years ago, I began to become aware of my own aging, and I'm 76 now, so, you know, I was in my early 50s, or mid-50s at that particular time. I began to become aware of my aging and to be asking myself, what kind of rite of passage experience, what kind of support can I offer to people who are moving from midlife into what I see as a very distinct and unique life stage called elderhood. And about the time I was pondering these things, I got invited by two wise elders, 15 years older than me, and I think at the time certainly a lot wiser than me. They knew of my work with rites of passage, and they asked me if I would help them to develop some kind of a rite of passage program that can serve as a doorway into elderhood. And so the three of us teamed up, and we offered the first of our retreats that we called Choosing Conscious Elderhood, and offered several of those over the years. And then after several years, my partners reached an age where they couldn't do the work anymore, and they passed the torch to me. And so I went and founded the Center for Conscious Eldering, which is still my organization. And this has been my passionate work ever since. And what we do in a nutshell is that we offer retreats, usually a week long, but also shorter workshops around the country and in Canada. And we begin offering them in Ireland, retreats called Choosing Conscious Elderhood, that help people to get a sense of the rich possibilities of aging and the kind of work that we can do, the inner work that can help us to actualize those possibilities, while also acknowledging that there are losses and diminishments, and we need to develop a resilience to enable us to deal with those, as well as embracing the wonderful challenges of this life stage called elderhood.
I have to say, I wish I would have had you. when I was a sophomore in college, I'd transferred school, so technically freshman all over again, and I had to take a class on advanced aging and elderly. I wish I could remember the exact terminology of it, but they took us to a funeral home and then showed us the inside of a crematorium. And I remember being 19 and thinking, how lucky these people are if they get to be old. What's the big deal? Like, I was so simple-minded. What's the big deal? They should be so happy they get to live to be, you know, of an advanced age. And I still remember that really naive, young, what's the big deal? Why is this? Why do we have to take a class on this? I was so not in a space to appreciate what that was. And I've thought about that class so many times over the years of, I wish I would have paid better attention. I wish I would have had more reverence and respect to the things that the teacher was sharing with us. Because as my old teachers, I still stay in touch with them because of social media, and you're seeing people that were in their 30s in college, or maybe 40s or 50s, you didn't even know their age, and now you see that they're grandparents and aging quite quickly, and it's amazing to look at the transformation and realize how fast everything went and is going. You know, it's not over, but I wish that I would have had somebody a little bit more mindful teaching something like that. But I do want to ask, I am familiar with Vision Quest, but I would certainly love to hear a little bit more about the Vision Quest that you yourself were taking to open up the path.
Well, I think I would start by saying that the whole concept of rite of passage, Emily, is something that is really pretty foreign to modern culture, at least to a modern culture in the industrialized world. Rites of passage are still practiced to some extent in various indigenous cultures, but certainly not in mainstream culture now. And I think oftentimes when people think of a vision quest, you know, those who have heard of such a thing think of a young person going up on a sacred mountain somewhere like, you know, as the Sioux do in South Dakota, and go up on the mountain and spend several days fasting and praying for a vision, or crying for a vision is a term that they use. And during that time, it's a profound time in which huge inner changes happen, and they complete a transition from being a young person to being an adult with gifts to give to their community and responsibilities to give those gifts. And there are rites of passage, you know, of that type in many countries around the world. Among the Aboriginal people of Australia, they have the walkabout that many of your listeners have maybe heard of. But in our society, we have lost so much of our understanding of what the process of human growth is, and how people grow, and how people go through life changes, and how when you're moving from one stage of life to another, it's important to acknowledge that and honor that and be aware of it and mark it and support it. And if you don't do so, then we just kind of drift unconsciously, you know, into getting older, and sometimes we accomplish a little bit of moving into a new life stage, and oftentimes we don't. And maybe that's why there's so many people who are middle-aged in today's world, but emotionally they're still children. Or so many older people who have never really even, you know, made it into full adulthood, let alone made the transition into elderhood. And so the work that I did, and I was privileged to be trained by Stephen Foster and Meredith Little, who were real pioneers in helping to reintroduce rites of passage to modern non-indigenous, non-native people. The work that I did involved taking people for 8 days into a wilderness setting, usually into the canyons of Utah, and really focusing on what their life has been up to this point, what needs to be healed to move forward, what needs to be let go, because we can't grow without somehow letting go of who we, some part of who we have been. Really getting a sense of our life up to this point, and then the rite of passage involved people spending two or three days in solitude, usually fasting, in that in-between place, just open to guidance, open to clarity, open to becoming more and more aware of their own inner gifts and their positive qualities. And then upon returning from the time of solitude, really focusing on, okay, what am I now understanding about my journey forward? And what it means to be entering a new life stage? And what are the gifts that I have to give to my community? And so that would be the final stage of the Vision Quest. And the programs we offer now don't take place fully in a wilderness setting. They take place in beautiful retreat centers, most commonly Ghost Ranch, New Mexico. But so people can sleep indoors. But we do give people an opportunity for a 24-hour period of solitude to accomplish a lot of the same kind of things that would be accomplished on a full wilderness vision quest. So in a nutshell, that's what a wilderness rite of passage is, and a vision quest as I have understood it, as I have been privileged to guide many times.
I think that is so special, so sacred, and what a beautiful gift that you are repeatedly giving to the people that do this. I have a feeling that people that do these sort of rite of passage change forever and really elevate in their soul's consciousness to live the rest of their life in a very different agreement, if you will. I would love to hear maybe some of the, what you feel like people have gotten, or honestly even what conscious living. I mean, I have an idea of what I think conscious living is, but even if you were to explain that to someone who doesn't spend a lot of time in that sort of mindset, what would you say is the foundation for conscious living?
Well, I think conscious, to me, Emily, the word conscious very much means aware. And growing in consciousness means growing in awareness. And I think it is so often the case at any point in life, but you know, my work now really is focused on elderhood. It is so often the case that we just kind of drift through life, living out of habit, not aware of what our own unique inner voice is, our own unique guidance. You know, what's calling us forward that's coming from our own truth, as opposed to all the other messages that we've internalized from our society and our parents and every, you know, around us, telling us who we should be, what we should aim for, what should be important to us. So conscious has a lot to do with increasing awareness of what is our own truth. It has much to do with increasing awareness of what are those shadow elements in us that we all have, that those areas where we are not healed, where our energy is being stuck with old baggage and old attitudes and old ways of thinking and being and feeling, becoming more and more aware of those so that we can make a conscious effort to transform those areas. Conscious, to me, has a lot to do with becoming increasingly aware of our interdependence with community around us and with our planet and all the beings in this planet, and becoming aware that our well-being very, very much depends upon the well-being of everything that we are connected with, and that we have a responsibility to help support the well-being of everything we're connected with. Conscious is becoming more and more aware of when we are living just out of habit? And when we are actually making choices coming from our own truth as best we know it, so that we live intentionally and consciously, and we're not just living out of habit. And so when I talk about conscious aging or conscious eldering, which is the term that I most commonly use, it's a whole approach to aging that sees the incredible value of approaching our life consciously, and not just kind of drifting into getting old, living out of habit, numb half of the time, and just kind of drifting along without some kind of a...
I think that is really an important place to get to. We got to take a quick commercial break, but when we come back, I have a particular subject I want to bring up, but I'll bring it up once we come back from the commercial break. We have Ron Pevney on the line. He's the author of the book Conscious Living, Conscious Aging, Claiming the Gifts of Elderhood, and its 10th anniversary. The pre-orders are available now, and the book releases July 16th. We'll be right back.
Emily A. Francis's new book, The Taste of Joy, Mediterranean Wisdom for a Life Worth Savoring, is all about heartfelt hints on attaining the most healthiest, fun, and inspiring life. By adding a bit of the Mediterranean lifestyle into your life, you'll explore the wisdom of eating mindfully, seasonally, and locally, as well as discover Mediterranean family secrets to health and happiness. And it's all in The Taste of Joy. Get your copy today at Amazon.com or visit EmilyAFrancisBooks.com.
Now there's hope for authentic healing. A new book by Emily A. Francis, Whole Body Healing, Create Your Own Path to Physical, Emotional, Energetic, and Spiritual Wellness, can help you discover a deeper way to approach your healing instead of using just the usual mainstream medical single methods. With Whole Body Healing and its extensive background of research, you'll be able to create your own healing path to achieve true and lasting results. Pre-order Whole Body Healing now at Amazon.com. You won't want to miss this priceless information. Whole Body Healing at Amazon.com by Emily A. Francis.
ASMC, the premier German company that supplies everything for adventure, from outdoor clothes to outdoor gear, even backpacks. Lots of quality and lots of specials. To start your adventure, go to HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on ASMC.
You may never totally understand this man-woman emotional connection thing, but now you can understand your muscle's emotional connection in regards to your health. That's right, your muscles have an emotional connection. And if you want an easy-to-use blueprint to understand your muscle's emotion, then get Emily A. Francis's book, The Body Heals Itself. It helps you activate and heal your muscles on an emotional level. So indeed, the body heals itself. Plus, it's filled with tools you can use immediately. Find out more at EmilyAFrancisBooks.com. Buy The Body Heals Itself now.
When you need a positive point of view, turn to HealthyLife.net, your 24/7 radio network for a better future.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to All About Healing. If you're just tuning in or you're tuning in for the first time because you love our guest, Ron Pevney, I welcome you to return. We have wonderful guests. We have a wonderful show, and I've been hosting this show for 6.5 years now. I'm grateful to be here, and I love Healthy Life Radio, and I hope that you return. Okay, so I moved from the United States to the island of Malta in 2020. And since then, I have been writing for the tourism magazine, where I focus on the foods that the farmers grow here, because I live in a GMO-free country, and I became wildly fascinated with the farming practices, the fishing practices, and the original keepers of this land. I studied with Native American peace elders in Georgia and did a lot of sweat lodges and different things, but But I wanted to get to know these people, and they're the most sacred people in the world to me. Also, in the island of Malta, the standard age of living is more than 10 years older than the United States. So here on this island and in Italy and in surrounding Mediterranean areas, you see an abundance of elderly people, a lot of sweet, beautiful old men, old women. And even though they have, quote unquote, retired, all the ones that I know will farm or work with the family legacy until their last breath. And so you don't see the people slowing down quite the same way. And I'm making a very generalized, and it's really the people that I know, but I don't see them slowing down the way that I've seen that from home when people didn't have a need to continue to be busy. And the farmers that I interview here all the time do tend to be 65 and older. So, Ron, I want to talk about retirement. What does that mean for different people in different areas? How does that fit with our health?
Well, I think that the way that society has viewed retirement is really, really beginning to undergo a change. And it's hard to, you know, pick up a newspaper without seeing some kind of an article these days about the changing face of retirement. I think for a couple of generations in American and European culture, retirement very much it marked the end of a career, or if one doesn't have a career, just had jobs, marked the end of when one, you know, had to work for a living. And unfortunately, there was never much clarity or definition or guidance as to what happens after that. And so for so many people, they focus on, oh, I can't wait until I can retire. I can't wait until I retire. They're thinking of it for years. Then they retire, and then they realize, I never really gave any serious thought or consideration to what am I retiring to. I know what I'm retiring from. What am I retiring to? For a lot of people in modern society, the best vision they have, if you can call it vision, for what they're retiring to is a time when there's not responsibility anymore, and they can really focus on primarily enjoying life and trying to find as much security as they can possibly find. But that is not a very empowering vision. And I think we all know so many people who retire and then they are adrift and lost. And all kinds of studies show that in that first year or two after retirement, people are much more likely to end up with serious health problems or to even die, because that sense of purpose or meaning that keeps the life force going, all of a sudden isn't there. And they have not prepared to find a way to know how they're going to keep that energy alive and how they're going to keep a sense of purpose. And so retirement can be an incredible opportunity to no longer have the same responsibilities we've had, but to use other gifts and to find those other things in us that we're passionate about, and to get clearer about how we can make a difference as elders, you know, for our community and for our children, grandchildren, our descendants. It can be an incredible opportunity if we do some of the right preparation, which is what this conscious aging or conscious eldering work is about. But if we don't, if we just kind of drift into a state where we no longer have a role or a job to define us, And here we are just in this big empty space, it can be a really difficult and even health damaging experience. We need to prepare well for it.
I have heard so many times people say that once somebody retires, they start to get sick, or they start to they lose all sense of sort of balance and movement. And I've seen this. I've seen so many people, even someone close to me, they worked so hard, and then as soon as they hit retirement, they ended up with rheumatoid arthritis. And I couldn't help but wonder, had it always been their underlying, but when they're so busy, they just pushed it back? Or, like, how does something like that happen where it comes up so quickly when they finally have time to rest? Do you find that you see that pretty often?
Oh, certainly. I am very, very aware of that. And the kind of people who come on our retreats or who read books like mine or other, you know, other good books that speak to what a good life can be as we age, all of those will tell you that there is nothing more important than having a sense of purpose to focus our energy and to keep our life energy flowing strongly. And if we don't have a sense of purpose, then that life energy just isn't there. And if there are, predispositions to illness or disease or whatever, without a good, strong life force to keep us healthy, all of a sudden these other things can emerge, and they can emerge quickly. But the kind of people who come on our retreats and read books like mine are people who have a sense that, hey, there are some real possibilities as I age and after I retire, where I can use my energy in ways that support me and keep me fulfilled and alive, keep my energy flowing, and that make a difference in my world, in the world around me.
If you had any, I guess my question is that, or my thought is, I always wish that people find things that they're passionate about, not just because they retire, but because they already have it in their life, because we're always searching for a depth, at least I am. And I think it's so important to have something that really brings your soul alive and on fire, not because I have more time, but because I'm called to it. When we come back from the break, my question is, what advice would you give to anyone, whether they're at retirement age or not, to help position themselves to enjoy retirement more consciously, more soulfully? But we'll answer the question when we come back. So everybody, we'll be right back.
Trauma or joy, shame or happiness, guilt or empowerment. Let Emily's new book, Healing Ourselves Whole, be the bridge to help you release negative emotions to help you heal on every level to create more joy, more health, and more vitality. Our body knows what we might forget. It's time to rearrange your inner conversation into spectacular health and happiness, and Healing Ourselves Whole is your step-by-step guide. Find out more at emilyafrancisbooks.com and buy Healing Ourselves Whole at Amazon.com now.
Now there's hope for authentic healing. A new book by Emily A. Francis, Whole Body Healing, Create Your Own Path to Physical, Emotional, Energetic, and Spiritual Wellness, can help you discover a deeper way to approach your healing instead of using just the usual mainstream medical single methods. With Whole Body Healing and its extensive background of research, you'll be able to create your own healing path to achieve true and lasting results. Pre-order Whole Body Healing now at Amazon.com. You won't want to miss this priceless information. Whole Body Healing at Amazon.com by Emily A. Francis.
Audiobooks gives you instant access to over 50,000 of the bestsellers and hottest book titles in romance, mystery, fiction, and many other genres. Just visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Audiobooks to get started.
You may never totally understand this man-woman emotional connection thing, but now you can understand your muscles' emotional connection in regards to your health. That's right, your muscles have an emotional connection. And if you want an easy-to-use blueprint to understand your muscles' emotion, then get Emily A. Francis's book, The Body Heals Itself. It helps you activate and heal your muscles on an emotional level. So indeed, The Body Heals Itself. Plus, it's filled with tools you can use immediately. Find out more at emilyafrancisbooks.com. Buy The Body Heals Itself now.
The Bright Side of Talk, HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to All About Healing, and we're going to jump right in with Ron Pevney. I just asked a question before the break about what advice would you give to people, whether they are at retirement age or not, to have that something deeper, something that calls to you and sets your soul on fire. Because I don't want it to just be when I retire. I want it to be as a common thread through my life. So what advice do you have for everyone?
You know, I think, Emily, that a good starting point to respond to your question is that it is so important for all of us at any point in our life to be aware and to cultivate awareness of what feels most truly alive in us, as opposed to what are the things that we do. And I think many of us don't know what feels really most alive in us because we're so identified with the stuff that we do, the work that we do, the things that we do. And the more we can begin to get a sense of what are those things in my life that stir my soul, you know, that ignite my passion. The more we can cultivate that throughout our life, and especially as we're getting into our elder years, the more we're going to then be able to find ways of channeling that passion. And, you know, it's so often the case that people have jobs that are mind-numbing. We all know people who have those kind of jobs. But even if that's the kind of job that we have because we need to make a living, we can be looking at what brings me truly alive when I'm not doing that job. And by truly alive, I don't just mean, you know, what gives me cheap thrills and, you know, temporary excitements. But what just makes me feel like I am just a joyous, passionate person. And the more we can begin to get in touch with those kind of things, and the more we can be looking for ways of expressing that energy in the world. And one thing that I find really, really, really valuable is that one of the best ways to get in touch with our aliveness and our sense of purpose at any point, and certainly as we move into elderhood, is to be making a priority each day to wake up asking ourselves, how today can I somehow grow? And how today can I somehow be of service? And there are many, many opportunities, as we all know, to grow, and there are many opportunities to be of service. And if we make that our chief priority each day, then we're going to find that our aliveness is there, because being of service naturally brings forth our aliveness. Growing brings forth our aliveness. And so if we use that kind of as the starting point for how we try to live each day, then we're going to be finding ways and opportunities to grow, to serve, to feel alive, to feel passionate.
I think that is one of the most important gifts of waking up, like really waking up to our very precious life. Because I think a lot of times, when you were saying that, a lot of times when we're so inundated with work, the word should seems to be a leader. I should be doing this. I have to do this. Watch the way that you speak about how you spend the time that you have every day. Because if it's always a should or a have to, where's the part where I get to? I can't wait to. I want to, because I think those things are invaluable tools that we miss, and they're so basic and finite. But until somebody brings them to your attention, I mean, I'm raising children. I have a 10 and an almost 12-year-old little girl. And even now, I'm trying to give them that you know, school is a must. But the after-school activities have to be something that you really, really enjoy. Otherwise, you can always change course. You can change course now. Because I don't want children to feel like they're stuck because I, you know, if I sign them up, they have to fulfill for however long they make the commitment. But after that, they're always free to choose again. And I think it's an important precedent to set young and then throughout life, because how many times have we been stuck somewhere and all we think about is, when this is over, I will do this. When I complete this, I'll finally do something that I enjoy. And that's like, you're wasting. And I understand it because, you know, we have to pay the bills and there's a lot of have-tos. But it cannot be the only thing we do every day.
And, you know, Emily, one of the things that I think it's so important to cultivate, you know, as we enter elderhood, but I think for our younger people too, is to cultivate some spaciousness in our lives and to cultivate an appreciation for silence, because it is in silence and in that spaciousness where we're not constantly doing and feeling we have to be doing, that's when we can begin to get in touch with our own inner selves and our knowing of what feels alive and what brings me joy. But if our life is constantly filled with noise and activity, and if we can't stand having 1 minute where we don't have some kind of stimulation, so we have to every single instant be scrolling on our phone because we can't stand a moment of silence. If that's the case, it is really, really hard to ever get in touch with coming to know ourselves and what we need to thrive. We need some silence. We need some space. And that's something that we can all benefit from cultivating, and certainly helping our children to cultivate that.
I have a certain 3 questions that I ask myself all the time, and that is, who are you? Like, who are you really? And then, like, what are you about? What do you want? And it is not cars. What do you want? And what are you willing to do to get it? What do you want for your life? But do you have certain questions that you pose from the beginning? Like when people come to your retreats, are there certain questions that you lay out from the start?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that's such a multifaceted question. I think one of the key questions that we ask people and that we focus on and that we help people to get in touch with is, what do you feel your gifts are that you are here in this world to give? I call them signature gifts. Some people call them soul gifts. But what do you feel those gifts are? And if you have some sense of that, then what understandings do you have of how you can be living your life where you are making that particular contribution to the world each day or as often as you can? What are your gifts?
I love that. We have to take a quick commercial break, but I want to talk a little bit more about our signature gift, because I think that's really too important to just put at the end of this segment. So we'll be right back with Ron Pevney.
Emily A. Francis's new book, The Taste of Joy, Mediterranean Wisdom for a Life Worth Savoring, is all about heartfelt hints on attaining the most healthiest, fun, and inspiring life. By adding a bit of the Mediterranean lifestyle into your life, you'll explore the wisdom of eating mindfully, seasonally, and locally, as well as discover Mediterranean family secrets to health and happiness. And it's all in The Taste of Joy. Get your copy today at Amazon.com or visit EmilyAFrancisBooks.com.
Now there's hope for authentic healing. A new book by Emily A. Francis, Whole Body Healing, Create Your Own Path to Physical, Emotional, Energetic, and Spiritual Wellness, can help you discover a deeper way to approach your healing instead of using just the usual mainstream medical single methods. With Whole Body Healing and its extensive background of research, you'll be able to create your own healing path to achieve true and lasting results. Pre-order Whole Body Healing now at Amazon.com. You won't want to miss this priceless information, Whole Body Healing at Amazon.com by Emily A. Francis.
Constant Contact and your small business make a perfect fit for marketing. They give you what you need to succeed. Fast and easy email marketing at your fingertips. Visit the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on Constant Contact to start your marketing.
If you have low vision or are blind, then listen up. There's now high visibility trendy sports clothing available just for you. At AwareWolfGear.com, you'll find attractive, stretchy, warm hoodies, headgear, leggings, even kids' wear to fit the duality of blindness, the need to be seen without drawing needless attention. Check out these trendy clothes for yourself or for someone you know at AwareWolfGear.com. That's AwareWolfGear.com. AwareWolfGear.com.
Music, information, and friends. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back, everyone. It's Emily's Energy Corner time, but I'm keeping Ron Pevney on the line, so it's really going to be a continuation of what we do. And I have to say, you probably don't know this, most people are very well prepared before interviews, and I don't like to be because when I hear your voice, whatever questions I might have come in with go to the wayside and everything shifts. So I just try to be really centered and focused and connect with you, and any question that I had came in that exact moment. So I want to make sure that I don't miss something, and I'll allow you the space to be sure that we cover the parts you want in this segment. First, I want to say or ask, where can people find you and where can they order the book?
Well, our website is centerforconscious-eldering.com. centerforconscious-eldering.com. There's a lot of information there, a lot of articles, a lot of interviews, a wealth of information about this empowering vision for aging called conscious eldering. And so that's how they could find us. My book is available on July the 16th, and you can get it from any of the sources that you normally get books from. I strongly encourage people to consider getting their books from bookshop.org, and a lot of people don't know about it, but bookshop.org has a wide variety of books, as does Amazon, but what makes them unique is that they donate 10% of the sale of every book to an independent local bookstore, and I really, really like to support that. But you can get my book from any of the booksellers. You can maybe at your bookstore, or you can ask your bookstore to order it, or you can go to Beyond Words Publishing. You can find them online, and you can order it directly from my publisher.
Fantastic. You know, I want to talk about our signature gift. And then I have a question that's a little bit, it's a little bit ridiculous in a way, but I feel like it's an important part of the conversation. So remind me to ask it right after you explain the signature gift a little bit more.
I strongly believe that everybody comes into this world not as a blank slate, but rather with certain qualities and certain gifts that we are here to contribute to this world during this precious lifetime that we have. I call it signature gifts. Some people call it soul gifts. I guess the best way to put it is a quality that each of us has that is uniquely ours that can really make a big difference in the world around us. And it's not primarily a skill set, you know, the kind of thing you could put on your resume, but it's a certain quality we bring to whatever we do. You could have 10 people with the same job description, but I think that if you look carefully, that those 10 people each bring something kind of unique to that job description. And I think each of us has certain special qualities that we can give to the world, and our task, and certainly it's our task in our elderhood, is to find how can we somehow bring those qualities forth during this time of our life so that we can be as fulfilled as possible, but so that the world could benefit from this particular gift or quality that we have. We've all got one. It comes into this life with us, with our soul. And finding that can be the most important task or challenge of our elderhood. But when we do find it, then that can give incredible purpose and meaning to our days as we live the final chapters of our lives.
That is so deep and special, and I could not agree more. And that brings me to my next question, which is so opposite of this. But if we're going to talk about aging, I have to ask, I'm around people, especially here in the Mediterranean, but I think in general, people, especially women, feel an incredible amount of pressure to not age physically, to keep their face in exactly the same shape. And we seek a lot of doctors and a lot of things to try to preserve our youth. Is there anything, based on who you are and the things that you teach, is there any comfort that you could give to people that are struggling with the aging that's happening to the outside?
Well, I think it is so very often the case, Emily, that a primary reason for people's incredible resistance to aging and denial of aging is the fact that we live in a society that is obsessed with youth. And the message all around us is that if it is young and it is new, it's valuable. But that it is, if it is older, it has lost its value. And we've internalized that kind of ageism. I think we've all internalized some of that because it's so pervasive all around us. And therefore, if what is valuable is defined as what is young and new, then of course as we age, we're going to see ourselves as no longer having any value, no longer having any attraction, and that's going to be really, really tough. And that's why I think it is so important that a vision of what it can be like to have a culture of elders, you know, people who are honoring their life experience, honoring their wrinkles, as you know, marks of experience and hopefully wisdom. As we change the way we understand aging in modern society, to see it as a special life stage, with its own particular gifts, then we're not going to be continually having to hide every single wrinkle, because we can see ourselves as, I'm an elder. I've gained some wisdom. I have something meaningful to offer my world. I'm continually growing. And if we can identify that and be proud of that, then we're not going to have a need to continually hide every wrinkle or obsessed with the fact that we're looking older or we're feeling older.
I think that gets, you know, I definitely feel like I'm actually starting to try to grow my natural hair out, which I haven't seen my natural hair color since I was 17 years old.
Uh-huh.
And now I've got some beautiful silver, so when my blonde starts growing out, it's not so dark in the roots anymore. It kind of looks similar. And so I thought, well, then why am I trying so hard to cover it up when it's seeming to blend in really nicely? And so I'm trying to embrace that. So I've actually put silver into my hair and tried to match it to the roots and opening it up, because there are things about aging that are really incredible and sacred and beautiful, but it's because I've tried to be very conscious about how I'm approaching. Being 49, in 5 years I'm going to wish I was 49. And 5 years from then I'm going to wish I was 55. And, you know, every 5 years you look back and go, wow, I look so much better than I thought I did. You know, and I want to try to get ahead of that. and not let that be what bites me. Instead, relish in this day because it's the oldest I've ever been and the youngest I will ever be again. Ron Pevney, it's been such a pleasure having you. I hope you guys go and order the book, Conscious Living, Conscious Aging, 10th Anniversary, Claiming the Gifts of Elderhood. And it's available July 16th wherever books are sold. Thanks so much. And for you guys listening, make it a great week.
Thank you, Emily.
Emily A. Francis offers you a unique approach to healing that works directly within the memory systems of your body. Healing Ourselves Whole is a groundbreaking interactive book containing everything you need to clean your emotional house from top to bottom, including journal prompts and audio meditations, all to help you dig deep into your past, change the dialogue, and let go of the pain and trauma to have a joyful and fully empowered life. Find out more at EmilyAFrancisBooks.com and buy Healing Ourselves Whole at Amazon.com now.
Now there's hope for authentic healing, a new book by Emily A. Francis, Whole Body Healing, Create Your Own Path to Physical, Emotional, Energetic, and Spiritual Wellness can help you discover a deeper way to approach your healing instead of using just the usual mainstream medical single methods. With Whole Body Healing and its extensive background of research, you'll be able to create your own healing path to achieve true and lasting results. Pre-order Whole Body Healing now at Amazon.com. You won't want to miss this priceless information. Whole Body Healing at Amazon.com by Emily A. Francis.
More exhilarating talk. HealthyLife.net.